Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to another episode of the Self-Build Plus podcast, where we chat with self-builders, suppliers, and experts about all things home building and renovating in Ireland on both sides of the border. I'm Astrid Mattsson, your host and the editor of Self-Build magazine.
This episode, we're joined by Mark McCall.
His project in County Down was featured in the summer 2021 edition of Self-Build magazine. Mark's house was block built, is heated by an air source heat pump and ventilated with mechanical ventilation with heat recovery. As a second-time self-builder as well, loads of tips and advice and inspiration. So as a contractor build, I suppose there was a lot done by the main contractor, but can you walk us through what the stages were for your build, especially having installed a home automation system just from the foundation stage and ground clearance phase?
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, sure. I'm delighted to do that. I don't know if I'm have any expertise here, but we've done two self-builds, as you said. You know, a couple of people said to us this time that you need to do three to get it right, but I think if you did 33, you'd still be learning things.
Some people say you should get it right the first time.
We certainly didn't. We were young. We were in our 20s, probably, in our first self-build, so we've a bit more life experience now, and things were certainly different this time. Mm-hmm. We started off planning, I guess, in 2017. We had a site we knew that we wanted to do something different this time. So we didn't move out of our house until I think it was October 2018. So we did have quite a good long sort of planning rolled in. And even after we'd sold our house, we still continued some planning and lived with family. So eventually, I think it was around June 2019 was when we started. That was after, I say, a lot of planning. We were even involved with our kitchen people, you know, as well as our architects in the early days, because we sort of realized on our previous self-build that we had done some things a little too late. Things like the kitchen, which you think maybe you can fit into your house once the house is, you know, completed. We found that there were windows and things that needed moved and stuff that affected the kitchen. So we were determined this time to do a lot more planning before we started. So, say, it was around June 2019 when we got the machinery and the plant in and started to clear the site. And right away, I guess, we were into our contingency, because it turned out with a lot of clay to remove. So that was a bit of a shock at the start.
Not a nice thing to have happen, but it's quite common, isn't it? I mean, how was it on your first one? Did you have any issues with the groundworks as well?
No, we were in quite a rocky site in the first self-build, but it didn't sort of come down to where the house was. It was more in the garden, so we're quite lucky that way. So this was definitely new to us. We'd hoped to be able to spread some of the topsoil in a different area in the field, but as I say, it was clay, and the builder advised us to get rid of it, so we had to pay quite a few thousand at the start, so that that was a shock. But I guess, you know, it's a good to have a contingency. It's one of those things that you always hear about, you need to have, and it's probably never big enough, but we were glad we had it, certainly, from day one. I guess we were straight into the founds then, and advice there, I would say, was that some of the drainage in the footings, you know, right from the very start, there's shard drainage things in the footings that were put in the wrong place. Probably our fault, but the architect had put some generic symbols for bathrooms, showers and baths and toilets and things, which really bore no resemblance to where they were actually going to go. But the builder sort of took that as gospel and cut it on quite early, thankfully. But that's just something maybe that came out of the
And who caught that early? You were on site a lot, weren't you? You were quite present.
Yes. So yeah. We were lucky enough to say our family were on family ground here. So we were right beside, living beside the site, which again, you know, I've talked to a few people who have built homes maybe 40 or 50 miles away, you know, when we're going up at the weekend and things, and a lot of errors happened, you know, in a week. A week's a long time. So I guess being on site is one of the top things, I would say. We're very good, very lucky with our builder, great guys, and nothing was too much trouble for them. So I don't know that they always loved having us there every day, but you know you know what it's like. You know, I read something the other day that said it was advice for self-builders, and one of the things it said was that the guy didn't realize how much head space it would take up. And I think that's a very good point. You know, it does sort of take over your life if you want it to. I guess there are people maybe who are happy to employ an architect and let it all go ahead. But I think most people, if they're doing a self-build, want to be heavily involved.
Well, you might as well, because it is, at the end of the day, you who's going to be living in the house. So to have that element of control is quite important. And catching out things like you just said about the foundations, you kind of need to have that involvement. There's a minimum involvement you need. Right,
absolutely, yeah. And I think, you know, it's a custom home with your custom layout and all these things. You know, that's the advantage of a self-build. So there's every reason to be heavily involved.
So your foundation sorted with all the drainage and everything sorted, hopefully, at that stage. and then what happened?
So I guess we were into the steelwork to put up the frame mainly for the barn. It's a block build. We hemmed and hawed over timber frame and block. And our previous house had a wooden floor and some stud walls upstairs. And you know, we were always finding them very noisy. So we were determined to have a bison slab floor on the first floor this time. And we favoured block build. We did have a look at timber frame and my cousin, not far from us here, has built a fabulous timber frame home, so I don't think we would have been wrong to go that route either. I think it's just a personal choice at the end of the day. So I guess the next thing, we were working a lot with our smart home guys, even at this stage, because obviously first fix is coming up once you're into the block build, and that's probably one of the most important things to do. I think we started first fix maybe January, February. I think we completed it in January, February in 2020. I'm trying to think back. Yeah, I think it was early 2020, just before lockdown. And that is such an important bit to get right. Epitome Living, our smart home guys, produced a comprehensive cable plan, which is a wire map with each Luxon light switch, speaker, network point, door lock, sensor, etc. are all documented on a color-coded chart. And then that was handed to the electrician then to do the actual physical cabling.
So the electrician had to chase all the walls you're talking about, is it? Or
yes, exactly. So the smart home guys really come up with the plan. You know, we had many meetings with them, and we were lucky enough to get an invite to the Luxon house in Austria and spend a weekend there living with the system. I think it's mentioned in the article in your magazine that I've run a blog on smart home tech for about 25 years now, and so our last house was pretty much a test bed for all these systems. You know, it was lots of experiments and what worked and what didn't work, both in the technology and also in the principles. You know, like lights coming on when you go into a room, that was something that we really liked, but was unreliable, we found, in some of the DIY sort of more budgety systems. So we took a long time to work out what it was we wanted, and probably each meeting that we had with the Smart Home guys, we saw a new capability of the system and just kept adding and adding to it. So we've ended up with a pretty comprehensive system.
Mm-hmm. So then why was there a steel structure? Was that if you block built, what do you need the steel for? It was because of the large window openings, was it?
Yes, the open plan barn, yeah. So the building's sort of two rectangles side by side with a little flat roof hallway linking them both. So the single story barn with a vaulted ceiling needed quite a bit of steel.
And in terms of running cables and things, steel is a bit of a tricky one to get around, isn't it?
A tricky one indeed, and also it presented a problem with our MVHR system. There was an issue with ducting going between floors and steelwork and things. We actually ended up cutting some of the steel to make a route for our ducting for the MVHR, which meant putting another steel beam in another area. I think it was a huge extra at the time of £1,700, something like that, which is disappointing because, you know, you employ architects and all these experts, and yet whenever something goes wrong, everybody turns around and looks at you with their hand open. So we were determined after our first self-build to try and limit the extras, because we knew, you know, the more planning you can do, the more details you can get right from the start means less extras. But we still were hit with several that were quite painful, I'd have to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then, did you have to bore through the steel just for the ducting, or the wiring as well?
Just for the ducting. Yeah. So the wiring actually simplifies in the way that we are at the moment. So the Luxone system uses a cable which is 48 volts, 24 volts maybe, 24 volts and data in a single cable, and they daisy chain along. So the spotlights, for example, in the hall, there's one cable daisy chains to each spotlight, but every spotlight's still individually addressable.
Right, okay. Yeah, so that limits the amount of cabling, obviously. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But we still put around 4 kilometers of cable in. That's the data cables. We've Cat 6A for all the data points and Wi-Fi points, Cat 6 for CCTV cameras, Cat 7 for general IO things, like doorbells and things. And we have speaker cables, Luxone 3 cables, 5 core LED cables, and another couple of 100 meters of coax cable as well for TVs and things. So
right.
It's quite comprehensive.
And what? Tell me, what's the difference between Cat 6 and Cat 7? Is it that the data can go faster on 7?
Yes, more shielding generally as you go up a scale. But the big recommendation, say, for most people is Cat 6 and Cat 6A sound very similar, but Cat 6A will do gigabit Ethernet for a 10 gigabit Ethernet for a much longer distance. So for all the extras involved, I encourage people to put Cat 6A in.
And why did you put some Cat 7? You mentioned Cat 7 for doorbells, was it?
Yes. Yeah, so for our smart home guys, it also color codes things as well. Things like doorbells, any sort of general IO or gates, for example, or doors or anything like that that needs to carry some current, they used Cat 7. But I say Cat 6A is good enough for most things.
Right. Okay. So the cabling, that first fixed stage of running all the cables along the walls and ceilings and things, were there any hiccups, anything that happened? Was it clear for the electrician to straightforward? I mean, it sounds like a lot of cables.
Yeah, it was. And I think it went fairly well. There were a couple of things we had to move maybe. Quite late on, we decided that we were going to put a wall in the barn of like an oak slatted wall just to warm things up in here, and that meant moving a couple of main sockets and things, but in general, no, everything was planned very well by the smart home guys, and I think having that plan, you know, number cables and references and where everything was going to, that made a big difference. I think the guys also run a certain amount of redundant cables as well. You know, there have been in other projects where a nail goes through a cable in the wall or whatever. So they do run extra cables here and there as well. And you can see some of those in our in our plant area and the garage area, you know, where there are some left there that if anything went wrong, they can quickly reconnect up with spare cable.
Okay. And did you have to use that or?
No, I don't think we've used any of them. I think we were pretty sound here.
Mm-hmm. So then the next phase was what?
So I guess that was first fix complete, as I say, January, February in 2020. And then we were into lockdown in March. The site cleared just as the heat pump went in and things were starting to get exciting. And we shut down for 5 weeks, I think it was.
Yeah.
But second fix then continued on after that. And we completed second fix by around June. And that was obviously most of the cables being wired up by the electricians, things like our ovens and things like that.
So plastering done before, obviously, isn't that how it works?
Yes, yeah, plastering
done
before.
So you finish the walls and then you can put all the sockets and the bits.
Exactly, and that's why first fix is so important. You know, I think it's important to think about cables. Even if you don't use a cable, you know, it's better to have it in the wall for the price of a cable. Either than to go looking for one a month after you've moved in. And again, we probably didn't get that 100% right. There's a place behind the sofa where I think it should probably have had a network point, but Wi-Fi is another big one. You know, we have seven Wi-Fi hotspots throughout the house, garage, outside, places like that. So that will be another big one I'd encourage people to think about, you know, especially houses that are so well insulated and maybe foil-backed insulation. A lot of these things kill Wi-Fi, so you can buy nice little neat units from Ubiquiti Unify that go on the wall. You know, you just bring a Cat 5 to a power point in the room and the Wi-Fi hot point, access point just fits on the wall. Gives you a couple of Ethernet sockets as well if you need to plug in a PC in a study or something. But we've great Wi-Fi coverage throughout the house because of that.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I mean, it used to be just the thick old stone buildings that had issues with transmitting. But now with all the insulation, you can't just have one point in the center. Or you need a booster or something. But,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but better to have the actual power, the Ethernet points in the wall. Yeah. Makes sense. So second fix. So is that the phase where you had all the controls on the walls? You have an interface on the wall, don't you, to control the house,
yes,
all the electrics?
We have a touch screen, which is an iPad that looks on use, where it runs an app and it gives us control of all the systems in the house. But, you know, it's rare probably that you use that. It's good to have it there, don't get me wrong, you know, and there are times when we do use it, but the app's available from the phone in your pocket. But, you know, apps aren't ideal for controlling things. You know, you want a lot of things to happen automatically, like say when lights coming on when you enter a room, or key light roof windows closing whenever the wind picks up or it starts to rain. Those things all happen autonomously. The switches on the walls, Luxone switch is a 5-zone switch, so tapping in the center controls different lighting scenes in the rooms. Top right is music up, bottom right's music down, and then on the left hand side you've got blinds up and blinds down. So all quite intuitive. No need for a degree in computer science to operate it. And anyone who enters a room anyway, that the light comes on automatically for them. So yeah, it's making it as friendly as possible.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And is it integrated to the heating system? Was there any kind of link-up that had to be done between the heat pump guys and...
Absolutely. So we have a Modbus interface between the Luxone system and the Hitachi heat pump. So the guys, Daily Renewables and Epitome Living, both talk to each other, and the system's interface now. So the house can control the heat pump, the Luxone system, which is great because we're on an Economy 7 tariff now with an electric car, which we charge at night, and we get a cheaper rate at night. So they've set the system that heats the house during the off-peak electricity price. And with the sort of good thermal mass of the block build and the tile floor and the stone wall, it releases the heat back into the house then during the day.
And the ventilation system, your MVHR, is that runs on its own anyway? It's independent, is it? Or
it is, but it's linked as well, Astrid. So every light switch in the Luxone system is a temperature and humidity sensor built into it as well. So in the bathroom, for example, or in our ensuite, after we've had a shower, the Luxone system will detect the raise in humidity, and it'll boost the MVHR until that lowers again.
Right. Okay. So that's also integrated. Yeah. And that was the same supplier. So you kind of liaised. It was the same system as for the heat pump, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep,
And then, so what's third fix? Because that's a term I've heard for home automation systems specifically.
Yes. Well, it seems to be that sort of fettling stage at the end. You know, a lot of these switches I'm talking about in the wall are all on the low voltage cable. You know, they're just, it's a bit like a CAN bus in a car. They're just signaling the central processor in the garage. So the third fix, I guess, is where they come in and put all that on, program up the system and get everything working. And, you know, we're in the house over a year now and we're still tweaking slightly, probably a lot of tweaks in the first few months and the odd tweak still now. One of the switches in the utility room, we programmed shortly after we moved in to open the garage doors. So as we're going out in the utility in the morning, we can put the garage door up, you know, before we don't have to be sitting in the car pressing the button to raise the door. By the time you get to the car and sitting in, the door's already open. So little things like that, because it's a smart system and everything's pretty much can be programmed to do whatever you want. So that third fix is all about getting everything felt.
And so what's kind of the idea of the lighting? You have like lights that can come on in different colors and all of that. Is that automated, or is that, do you just kind of choose if you want blues or
It's automated in the sense that when you walk into a room, the lights come on at a default scene, so that there's a, it's not a movement sensor, it's what Luxone call a presence sensor. Who's done a bit of home automation or smart home stuff will probably recognize the scenario where you walk into a room and you have lights coming on a timer, you know, based on movement. But if you're sitting watching a movie, let's say, the lights can go off after a while because they don't see any more movement. But the Luxone system has a microphone built in, so it's listening as well. So as long as the TV's on or you're talking, it knows you're still there. So it's a little bit smarter than that. So, yes, the lights come on when you walk into a room. They go off after a certain time, after it detects there's no more presence. But each room also has the ability to change the lighting scenes or moods. So we use that mostly in the barn, I guess, where you've got your dining and your kitchen and your living. And you can zone that quite easily, you know, through colours. And we've got pendant lights, a strip light over the kitchen. We've got lights in the ceiling of the vaulted ceiling. We've got LEDs, strip lights running under the TV unit and up in the vaulted ceiling. So, you can play away to your heart's content.
Yeah, it's a bit of a toy, a bit, almost.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, and how about the security stuff? How does that work? Is it automated, or do you have to switch things on?
So again, because it's integrated, and because you have these sensors in every room, you know, you've already got what you need for an alarm system. So it's something I guess you've got to consider in the budget of the smart home. You know, things like heating control and lighting and security and access, that there are parts maybe that you have in other budgets in your home, but you know, you can move those into the smart home thing. So the alarm system is very simple to operate. We have RFID tags on their little keypads outside all the external doors, which you can touch them off. Just open the door for you and disarm the alarm. Whenever you're leaving the house, a triple tap of a switch at any of the exit doors automatically shuts the house down. You know, it'll tell you if there are any open doors. It'll turn off all the lights in the house and it'll set the alarm.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty handy. And then remind me what happens if there's a power cut, if everything is controlled by electrics.
Yeah. So on your doors, for example, your key still works physically in the door to get you in. But power cuts would have to say, well, I was actually on a Northern Ireland electricity webinar last year, and power cut for 2019, the average customer in Northern Ireland had an 83-minute power cut for the entire year of 2019. So it's not the issue it used to be, even in the countryside. You know, I don't think we've had, we see the old blip. You know, we tend to see maybe a 1 or 2 second power cut, but the sort of the long power cuts that we used to see are thing of the past, I would say.
But it doesn't mess with all the settings or with the system or...
No, it's a computer that reboots. You know, it's, I guess it's like any other house. When the power's off, the lights don't come on. You know, from that aspect, it's the same. But whenever the power's restored, then it's up again in a few seconds.
Yeah. And in terms of consumption, like energy, electricity use and things like that, can you tell it costs to run?
Yeah, I can tell you the cost for the house because it's something I'm very interested in and I love a spreadsheet. So we've been monitoring, even though we moved in July, we got our economy 7 meter in December last year. So I've really been monitoring from the first of January this year. And I'll be publishing the blog post in early January on the whole thing. But as an example, last month our electricity bill, that's October, was £161, I think, from memory. Mm-hmm. And that is all our heating, all our lighting, all our cooking, and all our mileage in the electric car. We have one bill. You know, we don't even have chimneys in the house. We have no fireplaces. We don't burn oil, gas, coal, wood. That's our single bill. So it's well under half, you know, the running costs of our last house.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. And so you were considering PV panels, solar panels to generate electricity.
Definitely. Yes.
Is it worth it?
Absolutely. So a friend who's close by, and we were comparing electric bills. I think this was back in June time, which obviously was a good sunny time. And our electric bill for June was maybe somewhere around £150, and his was 87. And the only difference really in the homes was the his solar panel, so it'll make a good difference. So I think we need them to get our A rating in this house as well. But unfortunately, Northern Ireland has got no incentives at the minute. We're just about to see the new energy strategy published for Northern Ireland, and there's talk that will include some micro generation incentives. Alas, so you know, it's very disappointing because I read blogs in Great Britain where, you know, one guy's he's going to get £11,000 for installing his heat pump over the 7 years that he installed it, whereas there's nothing here for heat pumps or solar or anything. So hopefully that'll change, and if we get some incentives, you know, I'd maybe intend to put solar on in 2022.
But what would the payback be? This doesn't sound like a huge saving.
Well, the way electricity prices are going, I think, you know, I watched a YouTube video the other night of a guy who was talking about batteries, you know, and a bit of man maths involved. But if you can charge a battery, even at the minute, on a low, I think our night rate's 7.8p versus 16.9 in the day. And we do use an awful lot of electricity, you know, with a heat pump. You are using a lot with the electric car as well. So, we're coming. The payback times are becoming shorter, but there's also a bit of a moral incentive as well around renewables. I think, you know, it's not all about the payback time. You have to look at the energy we're using and how we can improve that. I think, you know, some of the blog posts I've written over the thing, getting your ideas together from the start, I would say, visit as many show houses and kitchen and bathroom places as you can. Every time you're out, or when you're at the self-build exhibition, you're going to learn something new. You know, some of the talks that we attended were very valuable and helped us form our ideas. I would say plan for low energy. You know, we're in the 21st century. Everyone, I think, knows now that heating is going to be electrified. We shouldn't be burning anything anymore. So, you know, the current building regs aren't great. Go above and beyond where you can. Room sizes was another one. You know, we did quite a bit of a look at our old house and room sizes and worked out, based on how we were living and how we would like to live, where we wanted to put the balance, you know, to rebalance things. So getting your ideas in your head before you go to an architect on room sizes was quite helpful. Once you've got your plans, I think 3D renders are absolutely invaluable. We got a 3D render done, like a walkthrough of the house before we built, and that was really, really good. Some of the best money we spent, it was under 200 quid, I think. And definitely encourage people to do that. You see things. It's very hard for a layperson to envisage, you know, a 3D space from a 2D plan. And that certainly was great.
Did you make changes on the back of that 3D?
I think we did. And small changes and even changes in finishes, maybe it helped mostly with. But it just seemed invaluable, and it helped to solidify maybe some ideas and also see where we could maybe make some cost savings when we had to. Things that maybe, you know, wouldn't affect the design, and other things that did affect the look of the house. So very, 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 very highly recommended. Mm-hmm. The other thing, I guess, was in our first house, I feel that looking back that we designed it outside in instead of inside out. You know, and what I mean by that is we had a vision of how the house looked outside, where the windows went and everything, and that very much dictated how the house ended up inside. Whereas this house, we did the opposite. Yes, you want your house to look good from the outside, but, you know, design the rooms around how you live rather than how you want an image of the house to look on the outside.
Yeah, that can be but it can be adapted as well. I mean, the important thing is the flow inside. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
but being optimistic, you know, and enthusiastic, because sometimes, you know, even to get through the planning process can be difficult. Although our first house took 10 years to get planning permission, so our second house was relatively easy in that respect. And I guess what I mentioned earlier on about more detail equals less extras, you know, think of things like even down to where the bank of switches is going to go to control your appliances in the kitchen, where your underfloor manifolds are going to go, the route for the MVHR ducting, as I mentioned, you know, all those things, you need to get that nailed down. You can't get it all right from the start, but the more you do, I think the less opportunity there is for surprises later on.
Yeah, surprises that cost money. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and being on site, I guess that was the other one that, you know, that we found invaluable, and especially that time when the first and second fix especially, you know, lots of decisions you think you made, you get lots of questions then, and it's good to be on site probably daily at that point, thinking of the future as well. You know, we put a downstairs master bedroom in, which we really like, and even if you're younger and have better needs than I have, you know, you should be thinking about it. If this is the home you're going to stay in, you know, think of a room downstairs that maybe in later life that you could convert to your bedroom. But I think, you know, sticking to your guns maybe might be the other one. You know, that we trying to talk out of a few things possibly, and it's easy to sort of to get waylaid and people tell you this is too hard or too difficult or. But if you've got something in your mind that you really want to do in your home, I would say go for it.
Give me an example of, in your situation, what were you tried?
Things like, you know, simple things, even, you know, we had seen in that house in Luxon in Austria that the shower screen went from the floor to the ceiling, a single piece of glass. And we looked far and wide for that, you know, and nobody did that. And we ended up getting a place in Dungannon that made a piece of glass for us. And in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't probably an awful lot extra over and above what something standard would have cost. But just little touches like that, I think that make some of the rooms special.
Yeah, and they tried to convince you, the builder tried to convince you to just go for whatever's off the shelf a bit.
The bathroom people or whoever, you know, just say, you know, would this not do? But, and you can make do, but if you're something in your head, I would say go for it.
Yeah, it's your chance to get it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's great stuff. Well, listen, thanks so much, Mark. I really appreciate your time.
No worries. Great to talk, Astrid.
Join us next time for more tips and advice from experts and self-builders alike. And if you haven't already, subscribe to Self-Build Plus. It'll give you full access to the selfbuild.ie website, including the Self-Build Plus journey, which is your step-by-step guide to self-building and home improving. Your membership also gives you first access to all videos and podcasts, as well as access to our members-only Facebook group, which features regular Facebook Live events.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There are two things that are absolutely true. Grandma loves you, and she would never say no to McDonald's. So treat yourself to a Grandma McFlurry with your order today. It's what Grandma would want. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's for a limited time.